Love,
well, good evening, everybody. Well, good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday night again, and God is already having his way. I was going in the music collection to pick a record, and since the topic tonight is the law and God's grace, I wanted a record, Amazing Grace, and I decided to look for Aretha Franklin, and I put it on, and you press a button and you could stop it, but it wouldn't stop. So when the show opened, I wasn't able to greet you because the music, it wouldn't stop. So you were listening to Aretha Franklin with Amazing Grace, and I just had to welcome you, and as always, thank you for tuning in, and glad that you decided to come once more again on Wednesday night as we explore the Word of God. And I just want to tell you that it's an honor and it's a privilege, and I don't take it lightly that God allows us to come together on Wednesday night like this. I just want you to know that first all obedience go to God, the Father, and then God, His Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, for everything that they have done and they're doing in our lives. I want to thank you for coming out and listening, and I'm going to play a little bit more of Aretha Franklin because the song is so appropriate for the lesson. The lesson, the title of the lesson tonight is The Old Testament. The Old Testament, which was the Old Covenant, which was the law, and the New Covenant, which is the New Testament, which is grace. And I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit of Aretha Franklin, and we'll go in our lesson. The song is titled Amazing Grace. You know, God's grace is so amazing. And we're going to listen to a few more minutes of this, and we'll get into the lesson. And that was Amazing Grace. Thank you guys for indulging me with this matter that was going on. But we're going to get into the lesson tonight. And right now we're going to have prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for what you're doing in our lives, what you have done and what you promised to do. We thank you for your mercy and we thank you for your grace. Heavenly Father, we enter your courts with thanksgiving and into your gates with praise. We praise you, dear God, because you're worthy. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you look down upon this lesson that's going to go forth. I pray that you open the people's ears, dear God, that they may receive and understand what the lesson is all about. Lord, I pray that if there's someone out there that's listening that have anything they could add to the lesson, that they would bring it forth so we all can be blessed. Heavenly Father, I bless every home that's represented here and everyone that took time out of their busy schedule to come here on Wednesday night. Lord, you say no good deed goes undone. And Lord, I know you have a blessing in store for them because it's commitment. Lord, I thank you and I praise your holy name. And we realize that there's no other name besides the name of Jesus. And because of that, we are grateful. Heavenly Father, I ask you all these blessings in your darling son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. And I just want to say amen and thank God. Well, when we look at the lesson tonight, we see that there was an Old Testament, an Old Covenant, a New Testament, and a New Covenant. And when I asked, did anyone would like to have a specific topic taught tonight, one of the callers from Wednesday night called in and asked if we could do a lesson on the Old Testament, well, a law and grace. And the main question asked was, did Jesus fulfill the law? And is the law still necessary for the day? Well, we're going to go ahead and start. I suggest that you get pencil and papers because it's not a specific scripture tonight, but there will be many scriptures in here in the lesson. And I always encourage everybody to look at what we're doing when we get together for Bible study. And I suggest that you go back and read the information so you could understand it even more for yourself. Because the Bible said that everyone is responsible. Everyone is responsible for studying for themselves so that you won't just take what someone says. So we're going to start tonight, and then we're going to go ahead, and I pray that everybody can receive something from the Word of God. First, I want to start off, because I always have something that I like to tell you guys. But I wanted to know that, did you know that the Bible has 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament? The Old Testament dealt with the law, which dealt with laws, curses, and punishment, the Old Testament. And the New Testament deals with the grace by faith of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, and Master. So we see here that there was an old rule and regulation, and now there's new rules and regulations. But how and why did it all take place? I hope that we cover that all of that on tonight. You see, in the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people and revealed things to come. You know, that would give them hope. You see, Jesus hadn't come in the Old Testament, so God revealed things to them through his prophets to let them know that there will be hope, and there will be a Savior, and there will be a Redeemer, and I will be able to come back. You will be able to come back to me, and the sins could be removed. You see, the Old Testament, God gave his laws on stones and tablets. When the Ten Commandments was on the tablet, on a stone, and he would write it on tablets, and that's how he gave them laws. But you need to know that in the New Testament, he said he will write his laws in our hearts. God now lives inside his people, and our hope is in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. God told us in the Bible that we will know that he is God because he tells us things that will happen before they occur. There's nobody who can do that. God lets you know if he prophesies in the Old Testament of things to come and these things are being fulfilled, he's letting you know that he is God because he alone can do things like that. You see, this is proof that God is omniscient, and that's one of his attributes, meaning all-knowing. Isaiah 46:9 said, I am God, and there is none like me. See, in that scripture, he said, I'm declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, yet not done. Let me read that again. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done. You know, there's a lot of prophecy in the Bible, and a lot of it has been fulfilled, and there's still prophecies that haven't been fulfilled as yet. But the scriptures let us know that everything was ordained before the foundation of the world, and God revealed things to come by his prophets of the Old Testament. That was under the old covenant. And when I'm saying the word covenant, I don't want you to think that it's something that you're not familiar with, because a covenant is just an agreement between two parties. And you see, there was an old covenant, and then there was a new covenant. And the old covenant was established in the Old Testament, and the new in the new. You see, in this case, the agreement was between God and man. The old covenant was based on the laws given to the people of God through Moses. The new covenant is based on grace and is given for the people by God through his son, Jesus Christ. So that's the two covenants, law, grace, Jesus, and the law and grace. and it was given to Moses. The Old Testament is based on this old covenant, and the new is based on the new. There's a lot of discussions, and always have been, and it appears that it always will be, about are we still required to fulfill things of the law? You know, a lot of things going on in churches where they want to take one law and leave one out, and they say this law still is in effect, but that law is not. But I want you to tell you that the scripture said, you know, Jesus didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. And a lot of people have problems with that. So tonight we will study the law. Then we can, you know, fully understand grace. You can't really accept and understand and know the treasures of grace until you understand the law. Because when Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, that's what he did for us. That's what he died for us. So we have to know what was in effect to know what God put in effect after it was out of effect and what it means to us. So we're going to look at the law. You must realize that there is no law. There was no law in the beginning. From Adam to Moses, there was no law. People then and now had to come to God by faith. You see, Genesis 15 and 6 tell us Abraham, whose name was changed from Abram, believed in God, and he credited to him righteousness. At that time, there was no law. His righteousness allowed God to extend grace unto him. You see, this was 14 years before God commanded Abraham to be circumcised. It was 14 years before God commanded him to be circumcised and over 400 years before God gave the law to Moses. Therefore, he was not justified by works or by keeping the law, but by faith he believed in things he could not see, and God granted grace towards him. A lot of times people will say, well, then if there was no law, were all of those people saved? Will God hold them accountable to anything? You know, what's going to happen to the people who lived before Jesus died? You know, and what happened to the people before God had given a law on Mount Sinai to Moses? Well, what I just said, the people then from the beginning and all the way until Jesus come back have to come to God the same way by faith. Was there a law? No. Was Abraham held accountable to a law? He couldn't. There was no law. Could he? He had to have faith in Jesus as the Savior. Jesus had not come. But because of his righteousness, God extended him grace. And with me taking this much time on this specific subject, you know, we say grace is New Testament, but you have to see the grace of God from the beginning of time that he had for his people. God never let us just be stuck out and alone. And even though back then God decided to work with Abraham and give him different things, because of his righteousness, God extended grace. Therefore, he was not justified by works or by keeping the law. Some people believe to be saved, you got to work. Some believe you got to keep the law. And some believe that it's by grace. But Abraham received grace from God, not by keeping the law and not by works, but by faith. He believed in the things he could not see. See, that's faith. That God told him would be, he believed, and God counted it as righteousness, and God granted grace towards him. You see, without the law, there's no way to tell that's what sin is and what sin is not. Keeping the law sounds real good. You know, you see people who are law-abiding citizens, and they sometimes give them plaques, and they do this and that. And back then, the Pharisees and the Sadducees knew the law, and they tried to administrate it with iron hands, and it was admirable. But, you know, on the contrary to what most of us have heard in churches for years, attempting to follow the law, and in modern days, religion, and we all know that religion is man-made, it is not intended. Listen to me good. It is not intended to make us closer to God. Rather, its purpose is to show us how far we are away from God. You see, the law was put into place to show people their sins. The law couldn't save them, and none of them really could achieve them. They couldn't achieve them in and of themselves. You see, God gave the law to Moses for his children, the chosen one, his holy nation, the Israelites, at Mount Sinai. Because, you see, God had delivered them and took them through the Red Sea, and he had made a promise to Abraham that his seed would get the promised land. So after they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and God got ready to deliver the promise that he had made to Abraham. And there's a scripture right in there that said, God told the children, y'all ain't got it right yet. Y'all still doing what you want to do. They had made idol gods, and they was complaining, they was murmuring. He said, but you know what? I made a promise to Abraham. And I'm not fixing to deliver you because of what you're doing and because you're so good. He said, but I made a promise, and I'm going to keep that promise, and I'm going to fulfill it now, and y'all going to get to the promised land. And I pray that all of y'all begin to understand what I'm doing for you, and I could use this nation as an example to other nations to see how to live and to please me. So when they got ready to come out of the promised land, God said, I'm going to give you the law. I'm going to give you the laws now, so when you get to the promised land, you'll know what I expect. You see, in summary, the law was given to amplify God's requirements for righteousness, so they would know what he expects, and to convince us that we can never meet his requirements in and of ourselves. You see, everything in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation points to Jesus. So let's not forget that, because God had a master plan before the foundation of the world. He knew Adam and Eve would sin. He knew that he would kill the first thing in the garden, the first thing that was ever killed in the history of the world was when he killed the animal. Come on now. Was that the first blood sacrifice? He killed the animal to take the skins to cover them because they sinned. So we can even see from way back in Adam and Eve that, you know, the sin, the blood sacrifice don't take away the sin, it covers it. God killed the first thing in the Garden of Eden to get the clothes, the skins to put on Adam and Eve. You see, in Galatians 3:23-25, it says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law. Galatians 3:23-25. For those who have your Bible, I'm going to give you a little while. Galatians 3:23-25. You see, it says, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shed up unto the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our schoolmaster. This is the scripture, y'all. I'm not making this up. See, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we must, so that we may be justified by faith. And then the 25th verse said, but after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Okay, some of you may say, what that mean, the schoolmaster? Back then, they had people who had means. They would hire a schoolmaster, in which was probably one of the family slaves, that would go to school every day with the boy. You see, they didn't worry about the girls, and some of them back then didn't go to school, but they went with the boy. And they went with him to school, and they just overseeing his conduct and will point out everything that was wrong. Now, this scripture tells us the law was our schoolmaster. It tells us what is wrong. It can't save us. It can't redeem us. You see, in a like manner, the law pointed out our sins, just to lead us to Christ, to let us know we in and of ourselves couldn't save ourselves and that we needed a Savior. You see, once sin entered the world, it separated us from God. We could no longer have a personal relationship, a fellowship with Him. Sin separated us from God, and God allowed sacrifices of animals to cover the sins of the people. But the sacrifice could never remove the sin. And this is something you should know, and the scripture says, for we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we have to remember that. We have to remember that. And you see, we have to just look at what God is telling us to do and what was in place. And God found a better way. For us to be able to deal with the things that we have to do. Everything we have to do, God has already made provisions. Don't ever, ever, ever forget it. Don't forget it. You see, so the Bible teaches that the law was our schoolmaster. You see, let me just tell you this. There's 613 laws, if anybody ever looked it up. And if you go on the internet, you could pull it up, and they will give you all 613 laws. And you would be able to see how, you know, ridiculous some of the laws are. They had that many laws. 613. Well, after a while, men start adding to the law. They start saying, well, now we should do this, and now this shouldn't be done, and now this shouldn't be done. You know, that sounds like religion we have today. And we all know that religion is man-made. You see, men start adding to the law to fit their own self-righteousness. And when we think of the law and ask yourself, is it necessary to keep the laws, that we have now? If you ask yourself, should we still keep the laws? If you look at all of the laws in the head and how ridiculous they were, you would know that some of them is impossible to keep. You see, the laws was broke up into three groups: ceremonial laws. And these kind of laws relate specifically to Israel worshiping, you see. And we are not bound by these laws because Jesus has fulfilled them. We don't have to worship and sacrifice blood sacrifices the way they did. So is that law fulfilled in Jesus Christ? I say yes, it is. And then there were civil laws. This type of laws directed the Israelites in daily living. You see, our modern society and cultures are so radically different, it would be impossible to follow them to the letter. Jesus fulfilled these laws daily with compassion and love for mankind when he came and walked the earth. He showed us how to love and how to treat one another and how to do things. Was that fulfilled? Yes, it was. And you see, there was moral laws, and these kind of laws was a direct command from God. And one of the examples of those moral laws was the Ten Commandments. People ask the question all the time, are the Ten Commandments still in effect? Do we have to follow the Ten Commandments? You see, the Ten Commandments reveal the nature and the will of God. We should obey these moral laws, not to obtain salvation. Listen again. Is the Ten Commandments still in effect? Well, should you commit adultery? Answer the question for yourself. Should you kill? Should you steal? Should you not honor your mother and your father? Let's open up our mind and think about it for a little while. The moral laws. They could not obtain salvation, but to live in a way that is pleasing to God. Did Jesus fulfill these laws? Yes, he did. Because you see, when he came here, he lived a sinless life. And because of his sinless living, he was able to fulfill a law, not destroy it, not to abolish it. He said, I didn't come to destroy or abolish the law, but to fulfill it. We see the three types of laws they have, which made up the 613 laws, and we could see how Jesus fulfilled it. You see, there was no one born of the seed of a man. You see, Jesus was made by the Holy Ghost with Mary, by his spirit. But you see, the seed of a man, no one born of a seed of a man could obey all of those 613 laws. If any man could have obeyed all of the laws, Jesus would not have had to come. He would have not had to be crucified, and he wouldn't have been buried in the grave, and he wouldn't have had to raise with all power and insane. Because the cemetery, what kind of God is, if one man could do it, every man would have been responsible to do it or had the opportunity to do it. Come on now. You see, because if one could have made it, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection wouldn't have been needed. He wouldn't have had to come, because if one man could do it, then the other men and other women and everybody else would have had to try to achieve it the same way if one could. And you got to remember this. The law was good in and of itself, but for only a specific purpose, for a specific time. Come on now. The law was good in and of itself. It served the purpose. God saw fit to put the law into action. You got to understand that it had to be good. God don't never put nothing on us that we cannot accomplish. You see, even though there was the laws, he made provisions with the blood sacrifices. But the law in and of itself was good, but for only a specific purpose, for a specific time. And God ordained the time from its beginning to its end. And he made all the provisions in the law, and he set up all of the provisions for grace, and he's still giving the provisions for you and me. All of these years has passed to be able to live a righteous life and to receive everlasting life by faith in Jesus Christ. You see, we got to learn and believe it and understand it. And I hope that gave you some other understanding of the law. So now we're going to take a little time and we're going to look at grace. Yes, we're going to look at grace for a while. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for by grace we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is a gift from God, not as the results of work that anyone should boast. You see, that is so important where they say, should any man boast? Because you got to understand, when God does something, he wants us to realize and understand that he did it. He don't set things up where people can have the opportunity to go around and boast and say, I did it. I made it happen. You know, anything like that. God don't allow that. That's why it's grace. It's a gift from God, should any man boast. So we have to see that, you know, we have to see that it is through God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. You see, he had a master plan before the foundation of the world. And soon after man messed up, God himself in the third chapter of Genesis, for those who are writing, is Genesis 3 and 15. That's when the fall of man happened. And after man had fell, God had already himself prophesied and created provisions for us and for all those that would come even in the Old Testament. And he said that he would send a Messiah, and Satan will bruise his heel, and God will bruise his head. And that was the first prophecy about the Messiah coming. You see, John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed would not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the Son offered us grace by faith. Grace give us blessings we don't deserve. Christ fulfilled the demands of the law of Moses, which called for perfect obedience under the threat. Come on now. See, the law had us under a threat of a curse and a threat of debt. That's what the law did. That's what it did. So we have to see and learn to deal with what it really is. You see, but God didn't want his people to be bound by the laws. And at that time, he made provisions. And it was done before the foundation of the earth, and he had a master plan. You see, grace gives us blessings, and the law gave us curse. You see, grace is really God's perfect pleasures and treasures at God, at Jesus' expense. And that's something to think about. That's just too much to think about. And I'll say it again. Grace is God's treasures at Christ's expense. So we have to understand what God is doing for us. We have to be careful to understand what God wants from us. You see, when God decided that he wanted a relationship with his people, God said, I know they can't make it with the law, so I'm going to make provisions, because you see, when sin came, it separated us from God. God is separated from his people from sin, and you can't have a relationship and you can't have fellowship. And that's what happened in the garden. And that still stayed in place until Jesus Christ came. And not just when he came, but when he died, we received grace. And you see, God said, I wouldn't be such a good God if I let everybody don't have a chance to be saved and take on the sins. That's why they say we have a sin nature and we took on the sins, because we have the nature of Adam. God said it wouldn't be fair for all men to perish for what Adam did. He said, so I'm going to make another plan. You see, I had the old covenant, which was the law. He said, but I'm going to come down now with a new covenant, which is going to be in the New Testament that starts with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's saying it's going to be a new covenant. I'm going to arrange a new covenant with my people. He says, and everybody will have a chance to have eternal life and to receive the grace of God and become heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ if they accept him and believe. You see, what the law couldn't do, Jesus Christ fulfilled them. And that's why it can be done. You see? So God is such a faithful and a loving God. He don't leave anything out. He makes sure we have everything that we need, that we can live a righteous life and enjoy the things that he wants us to enjoy. So he sent his son. So what God said, that it is going to be a time when my people, you know, because God was yearning to have that relationship with his people. And he said, even though it's messed up, and I'm going to provide a way to fix it up, he said, if they choose me, they're going to be mine, and I'm going to be their God. And oh, what happened? Then came Jesus. And once Jesus came, did he fulfill the laws? Yes, he did. You see, because he taught us how to live sinless. You see, Jesus was the man because he was total God and he was total man. And Jesus came on earth not to just do away with the laws, but show us how we can be with the laws. Learn how to love one another. Learn how to obey your parents, and how to don't steal and don't kill and all of that. Jesus didn't do that. So he became an example for us to see what the law was trying to get us to do. Excuse. So that in itself was the fulfillment. And that's what Jesus did. Now, if you want to ask the question, did Jesus fulfill a law? If the Bible said that not one dot or one tilt of the law, if one dot or one tilt wouldn't be fulfilled, then it would all not be fulfilled. And we would still be on the binding contract of the old covenant. But you see, this is what I saw when I was studying this lesson. Everybody could accept the part of the law that Jesus fulfilled in his death, burial, and resurrection. You see, they'll say when Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled the obligation of animal sacrifices. That's true. So if he fulfilled that, and the scripture taught us that if all couldn't be fulfilled, then none would be fulfilled, then he evidently fulfilled them all. You see, if the law of Moses bear the same relationships to men today in terms of his binding statute, then it is not fulfilled. And Jesus failed at what he came to do. You see, on the other hand, watch this. On the other hand, if the statute then is not fulfilled and Jesus failed at what he came to do, you see, but on the other hand, if the Lord did accomplish his goal, then the law was fulfilled and it was not a binding institute for us today. Look at it a little further. If the law of Moses was not fulfilled by Christ and thus remain as a binding legal system for the day, then it is not just partially binding, it is total compelling system. You see, Jesus said, and as I say it over, not one part could be left out. In the laws, the 613, they say if man fell short in one law, he fell short in them all. Jesus fulfilled the law. You got to believe it. You got to understand it and you know it. He fulfilled all of the law. We cannot say that Jesus fulfilled just one part, the sacrificial part. But if you could understand, and everybody don't have a problem grasping on to the sacrificial part, and Jesus told us, if I do one thing, I must do them all. If you believe that Jesus fulfilled it, we're not under the law. But this is what we have to do. Let's use some sense. Why? It's so amazing when people struggle with if you're under the law. if you're not under the law. The things in the law was made to show us and point us to Jesus and to show us our sin. They say like this, a law. There's a speeding law on the road, and they say on the highway you could drive 70 miles an hour. That law don't stop accidents from happening, but that law lets you know what is reasonable to do to save yourself. So that's just how laws is. If they didn't have a speeding limit, then everybody would go so fast. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You see a righteous person who have a little sense would know if you drive that car so fast, you would not be able to save yourself in case an accident or something was up before you. So they would drive at a reasonable speed. And that's why the Bible teaches that the law was not given for the righteous, but for the unrighteous, to point to sin. But Jesus did not abolish it, but he did fulfill it. You see, Jesus was asked, and I'm going to close with this. Jesus was asked by some Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees was always trying to get Jesus to say something or hang him up. And they was always concerned about these laws because they thought they was the gurus of following the laws. They knew the law, Jesus said, but they did not know how to love. And that's why he always pushed them aside, those Pharisees and those Sadducees, because they knew the law, but they did not know how to love. You see, and Jesus was asked in Matthew 22 and 36 through 40, for those who have their Bible, Matthew 22, 36 through 40, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they asked him, teacher. And they was only asking him to trip him up. They asked him, teacher, what is the greatest commandments of the law? Now, remember, they had 613, you know, and they may have been referring to the Ten Commandments. But Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said, this is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is to like it. The second is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. What's Jesus saying? If you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and if you love your neighbors by yourself, loving your neighbors as you love yourself, you're not going to fool with your neighbor's wife. You're not going to steal your neighbor's stuff. You're not going to kill your neighbor. Come on now. You know, if everybody in the world right now just followed the Ten Commandments, not the 613, the Ten Commandments, there would be no need for the 10 o'clock news. And I don't know if you guys know it, but there were Ten Commandments. The first four commandments and the Ten Commandments was in reference to you towards God. Thou shalt not have idol gods, thou shalt not put any god before me, thou don't use my name in vain. Those first four commandments was directed to how you should relate and what God expects from you towards him. Now watch this. The next six commandments was all for us and how we should deal with each other. God gave four commandments in reference to us loving on him, and he gave six to teach us how to love on one another. And what they say, on these two commandments, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hangs all of the law and the prophets. You see, Christ became the end of the law by virtue of what he did on earth through his sinless life and his sacrifices on the cross. So, the law, no longer have any barons over us, because its demands has been fully met in the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. You see, they say the law had a lot of curses. Didn't Jesus say he died for the curses? It had sickness. Didn't he die for healing and sickness? You know, Jesus said all of these things, he done took care of it. You see, faith in Christ, who satisfied the righteous demands of the law, restores us to a pleasing relationship with God and keeps us there. See, the law couldn't even get us there, let alone keep us there, but grace, because Jesus fulfilled the law and he brought grace, and God gives it to us freely who accept his son. Once we receive it, it keeps us there. You see, in the law, when they messed up, they had to go get a bull, and then they messed up again, they had to go get a lamb, and then they messed up again. But God keeps us there. No longer under the penalty of the law, we now live under the law of grace in the love of God. So, keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing the best that you can. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's what God told us to do. And please begin to love your neighbors as yourself. Look at this, and it's real simple. They had 613 laws. And Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandments of them all. And Jesus said he had two. And in those two, it would accomplish and fulfill everything the law was trying to do. First, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. I just want you to know tonight that grace is sufficient. And grace has provisions. And God has made a way for each and every one of us to receive eternal life. You know, they say it is God's will that all sorts of men be saved, and not saved by the law, and not saved by the works, but saved by grace. You see, when Jesus Christ died, there was a curtain that separated man from God. And there was a curtain that only the holiest of holiest could go in. Regular people couldn't go in there because it was too holy for them. But you see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he gave up the ghost and he said, it is finished, that curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. And when that curtain was torn from the top and the bottom, it gave each and every one of us access to God with a personal relationship for ourselves if we accept his son. Come on now. We became heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus in a plan of salvation that God has or had ordained before the foundations of the world. There was nothing that Adam could do or Eve could do to stop God's plan. God planned for your life. There's nobody who can stop it, because what's for you is for you. God has a plan for everybody, a purpose for everybody and everything under the sun. God is a God of purpose, and he does nothing without it. God knew when he put Adam and Eve in the garden what they would do, because I told you he was omniscient, and that mean all knowing. Yes, he did. So he already had a plan in place. He's not making it up as he go. He's got a divine plan for his people before the foundation, all the way through eternity. You just got to believe it and you got to trust it. And when that curtain was torn, we had access to God for ourselves. Yes, we did. And we could all come to him on our own. You see, that's what Jesus Christ did for us. And when Jesus Christ did that and we accepted him as our Savior, the Holy Ghost come to live in us. And you see, in the Old Testament, they put the laws on stones and tablets. But the Holy Ghost is living inside of us, putting the love in our heart day by giving us comfort, by giving us direction, by calling the Word of God to our memory that we have studied. Oh, yeah, God had provisions. He's not short in doing what he needs to do for his people. You got to trust him. And God is not through with us yet. And God has never fallen short of his word. And God loves and is faithful to his people. And I'm a citizen, I'm going to close. The Old Testament, the New Testament, the New Testament. If you know in the natural, you know I say God use all these analogies. In the natural, when someone, all of you guys, you probably might have a will or thinking about making a will. And when you make a will, the will includes everything that you own and everything that you have. And in that will, you decide who's going to get what, when, where, or how. And you put it all in that will. That's why the Old Testament is called the last will and testament. Will, W-I-L, the same will. You see, when Jesus Christ died, come on now. You see, when you have a will cannot be open until someone died. You see, when the New Testament came and Jesus walked the earth and then he went on the cross and then he was buried and then he rose with all power in his hand. But when Jesus Christ came and died and rose, the will was bust open. You see, someone had to die. And that sacrifice, Jesus, when Jesus died, the will of God was bust open. And in the will of God, it had everything for you and me and everybody else. All of his promises. God said, everything belongs to me, all the cattle and land. I got it all and I got some for you. And in the will, you know, sometime in the will, they have provisions that I could get the money if I don't get married or whatever. You see, God got everything in the will. He said, you could get everything. You could get everything. But you might have to do this. He said, this is what I got for you, and this is what I need you to do to get it. You see, all the provisions in the will, but you see, some of us don't read the word of God, which is the will of God, so that we could see the promises and what God has in store for us. So we don't even know what's in the will. You see, because you're not going to be able to say, God, you didn't provide it. He said, you didn't look it up and you didn't go for it. He's saying, those who have not, because they ask not. And if you don't know what to ask for, then how can you ask for it? That's why 2 Timothy 2:15 say we got to study to show ourselves approved. You see, God made a new will in the New Testament, the last will and testament, the New Testament. And when Jesus Christ died, the will was bust open. And I want you to know everything that's for you is in the will. And the will is God's will, the will of God for you. Read it. Enjoy it. Receive it. Check it out. Believe it. And then you can achieve it. In Jesus' name. So that's a lesson on law and grace. We are no longer under the law, because Jesus has fulfilled it. And he fulfilled it well. Not just some parts, but all. And that's the lesson for tonight. And at this time, I pray, because I know all of these scholars out here have something that they could say to this lesson. Bring something else to the table that I might have forgot. And really and truly, to be honest, bring something to the table, please. I got a caller, and I'm going to open the mic. Well, I could tell you one thing. The studio is acting up right now. And Sister Brown, I see that you're calling in, but I can't see how to open the mic right now. I don't know why. I'm still trying, but if anybody else, I'm going to still try to see if I could get this mic open. Satan, you're a liar and a deceiver. God is not through with us. God is not through. They have a lot of callers on the line, and right now I usually could just press the button and it'll open the mic. And it's not doing that right now. I mean, I don't know why. But Sister Brown, I see that you have your button pressed. I just can't see how to open the mic. Help us, Holy Ghost. I just don't know what to say. Y'all be patient. It just won't open up, you guys. It won't open up. Someone else listen, would you press your one button so I could see if it's working and that you guys are still on the line? Anybody, press your one button. And you don't have to think I'm going to open you in. I can't open you in because I can't get through. Thank you, callers. I see you popping up. But for some reason, I can't open the line. So this is what I'm going to ask you guys to do. Would you please, when we come back next week, the comments you had, Ms. Brown, and anybody else who had comments, would you please bring them back next week, and we'll go back with this lesson, you know, and not the whole lesson, but just, you know, the start of it, so, you know, we could get the question answered. And I apologize. This is something new that happened. I'm not familiar with it. I'm in a studio in the section that I usually go to be able to open the mics. You know, it's not on the board. And I don't know why it's like this, but I'm going to go ahead and play a record, and I'm going to try to see if I could get it straight. So just hold on, and I'm going to keep working with it. And if you have to go, I do understand. But I love you guys, and I appreciate you calling, and I look forward to being with you next week. But I'm going to go ahead and play a record and see if I could get it straight. and I still couldn't be able to open the mics tonight, but I just want to acknowledge, you know, I see some callers still on the phone, and I appreciate it. I see that Rihanna is still on, and Tamika is on, and Sister Scott is on. I see Auntie Audrey, you know, and there's some other numbers that I don't know who you are, but I'm so grateful that you're still on the phone. I see Jeanette. I see a number that's 62198, and I see some, you know, some other numbers. I'm so sorry that I'm not able to get that in tonight, but we're going to proceed with this lesson in another way on next week. I thank God for each and every one of you, and I know that for some reason, you know, plenty of things was not working well tonight with the program as well as the script that had went forward, and now I can't open it up to let you even make your comments, but God is definitely in control. You know, and this is tonight, and we could be back next night with more power and strength, and we're going to carry forth in the name of Jesus. So I want to tell each and every one of you, thank you. I'm going to say a prayer, and we're going to close in the mighty name of Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Heavenly Father, I pray that you made it plain, because I had some distractions over on this end, dear God. But you see, I know you know who your people were, and I know you knew who wanted the lesson, and I know you knew how to break it down for their ears and their heart and their mind. Lord, I pray that this was done. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, and I thank you for next week, if you say the same, that we're going to come back and we're going to take control again, and I'm going to find out some more information how to rectify these things, dear God. But I just want to say thank you, and I pray that everybody have a great week and that we meet back again on Wednesday for Wednesday Night Inspiration. I am your host, Diane Adams, and I'll be back with you again. And I say thanks to each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, amen. And y'all have a blessed night. And I'll be looking forward to you next week. Keep your comments and your concerns, and we'll be back at the same place at the same time, if God allows. And remember, God loves you, and so do I. Thank you. See you Wednesday. Good night.